Good morning, brethren and sister, and this is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru. I'm glad to be with you, as usual, this morning. I've been thinking, you know, with this warm weather, it's time to get back on the bicycle. And I've still got it in my office. I bought it like 3 weeks ago. It's my new electric Trek bicycle. It's called an Alant Plus, 8S Plus, I think. And so I've got my breeches that I wear, which have the pads in the you-know-where to keep you from wearing out your you-know-what. And I've got those in the bathroom with my long skivvies. I've got a thermal shirt and my helmet, my gloves, and my bike riding shoes. And some of you may be mocking me right now because, yes, it is an electric bicycle, but it still takes effort. You know, it's not like an electric car that, you know, you just put your foot on the gas. Of course, you could consider that effort. But this, I still have to pedal. And basically what it does is when I'm pedaling I can have no boost at all. So give me a break. But I can put it on the, what is it called? The eco mode. Yeah, I can put it on eco mode and it takes what I do and adds 40% to that. I don't know how they came up with that technology. And now if I put it on a touring mode, it takes what I do, what I put in, and adds 120%. And then like 140 and then 180 is the what they call turbo. So I'm still having to do something. So I think it's better than a lot of people are doing. But, spring is almost here. I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I went to Lowe's yesterday and they had all the mowers out. You know, one thing I noticed, though, is the prices are considerably higher. Is that inflation? I guess. Walked in, and they're sitting. They got all the grills. You know, when you walk, well, at least the one in Greenville, when you walk in, right there in that one section is the, they decorate that for Christmas, and that's where they have all their, you know, fake Christmas trees and stuff like that. But now they're getting out the patio furniture, and the lawn mowers are in there, and the grills. All kinds of different grills. So that makes me smile when I see that. I'm ready. My favorite seasons are spring and fall. And that's probably not too uncommon. It might be yours. Not a big winter fan. Not a big summer fan. But I'm hoping that'll change now that I've spent about $5,000 on my yard. I dropped the bomb on my yard, or I had somebody else do it. The lawn doctor. I had them come in, and my wife said, "Are we ever going to have a nice yard?" And I said, "It's green," and that's not good enough. She wants it, you know. She wants the grass to grow up, not out to the sides like the crabgrass does. And I don't disagree. So they killed most of my yard. I did have some fescue growing, so there was enough to build on. And they fertilized it and then hit it again. And, I mean, it's greener right now. I mean, here in the dead of winter, it's greener than it's ever been. And they overseeded it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to have a nice yard if you guys want to come see it. But I do need to get my my zero-turn mower. I got side-by-side on the brain. That's all my grandkids want to do is ride around in the side-by-side. One of them calls it a bye-bye side, and that's fine. But, my zero-turn mower, it's an X-Mark mower. I think it's a 60-inch mowing deck. It gets it done. But, you know, one thing about those zero-turns is they will tear up your yard, especially when you turn and you go around bushes, especially if you don't know how to drive one. And I'm too impatient to wait. I want to get it done quickly. I enjoy mowing, though. But I do not want to stay out there all day. So got to get it serviced and ready. Got to get my Kubota tractor. I've got a 52-horsepower tractor with a front loader. And I used to have one with a belly mower, but this one's too big. So now I have a pull-behind Land Pride. Bought it from the fine folks at Johnson City Kubota. But you need to get your car ready. Now you need to be thinking about the things that you need to be doing to get it ready. I was getting gas the other day in my F-150 hybrid, and I looked over and there's a guy putting air in his tires. I said, "Good for you." I don't know whether he had a flat or he just noticed that they were low. You know, if you look at your tires and they look low, you've waited way too long. Your tires will lose 2 pounds of pressure per month if they're normal tires. Now, if you use nitrogen, pure nitrogen in your tires, you probably will only lose 0.5 pound a month. Apparently, never seen them before, but nitrogen molecules are fatter than hydrogen and oxygen molecules. So, I mean, there's nitrogen. I guess most of what we breathe is nitrogen, isn't it? I think that's the most common element around. But, we got to have that oxygen. Well, you don't want it in your tires because oxygen seeps out. Smaller molecules, that's why. So check your air pressure in your tires. Check your oil level. If you haven't had your oil changed, get it done. I'm still on the get your oil changed every 5,000 miles and get your tires rotated every time you get your oil changed. I know it's a little bit more money and it's not real convenient. I don't know if the Jiffy Lube places, I keep saying Jiffy Lube, but you know, the Fast Lube places, I don't know if they do tire rotate. I'm sure they do. But I think that's just a good schedule, and make sure they air up your tires up to the pressure that is on your door, not on the sidewall of the tire, okay? Because your car was engineered, your suspension and all of that was engineered with a certain amount of air in the tars. And if you exceed that or go too far below, then you're not going to be as happy with the ride and the performance, handling, and so forth. So that windshield washer solvent, you know, good time to have that checked and topped off. Don't just pour water in there. Make sure your battery is in good working order. Clean those connections just to make sure that if you see any white chalky stuff there, you need to get it off. You need to pull the battery cables off and clean them real good, Brillo pad or something like that, just or wire brush, and then put them back on. You know, that's one of the reasons cars won't start sometimes. They just don't have a good connection. Air filters, all of that stuff. Still recommending OEM filters. I'm sorry for you all you aftermarket people. You know, the OEM filters are probably made by Fram anyway, but I just, especially while your vehicle's under warranty, make sure that you're using the original equipment manufactured parts for it. That's what OEM stands for. When I say OEM now, you know what I'm talking about. Don't look over at your wife and say, what's he talking about? I don't like acronyms in general, but that's one that I'm going to use from now on. So, you know, these are just fundamental things that people need to pay attention to. A guy came and asked me the other day if he needed to change his transmission fluid. And I said, well, that's going to be hard since you have a sealed transmission. And he said, what's that mean? I said, well, you never have to change the fluid. And if you want to, it's very, very difficult. Not necessary. I never thought that would happen, that we would have sealed transmissions. As far as your brakes and stuff, I mean, of course, you're getting ready to do some traveling. Any good oil change, any new car dealer that has a service department, they're going to use a checklist and they're going to check all that stuff. And you should get a copy of that checklist with the copy of your repair order when you leave. Don't just take that checklist, throw it in the garbage. You know, what if the last time they checked, they said that your brakes were fine and they were in the green. You go back 3 months later, get your oil changed, and they say that, well, your rotors are completely eaten up. You've gone way too long without replacing your brakes. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out the glove box, get that inspection form. I'm going to take it in here and say, look at this. You told me 3 months ago that they were, in the green, perfect. I'm not paying for those. Well, I'd say it nicer than that. I would say, I don't think I should have to pay for those rotors because you told me that they were in the green. Now, did you not really look at them? Did somebody just check the box and not look? Obviously, somebody must have, because that was only 5,000 miles ago, and I'm not going to completely wear my brakes out from green to red in 5,000 miles. Do you think? So as they're backing up, doing the Michael Jackson, you'll probably win that argument and get you a free set of rotors and brake pads. That's what I'd be asking. Well, maybe you should pay for the brake pads. I don't know. Let them do the labor and get you a new set of rotors, or at least turn the rotors at no charge. But let's take care of this stuff before we think about going on a vacation. We're going in May this year, a little bit early, and that's not too far away. So, you know, I'm going to have my car ready to go. Right air pressure in the tires, fresh oil, full tank of gas, and just a warm feeling in my heart. I'll be back here in just a second. Okay, I'm back on this episode of My Car Guru talking about favorite cars. So I want you to think back. Maybe you don't have to think back. Maybe you can say, nope, it's the car I've got. This Lexus is the best thing I've ever had. But if you think back, if you could think of what your favorite car of all time would be, you know, a particular make, model, and year, what would it be? I know what mine, I thought about it during the commercial break. Mine would be, and now I probably should qualify this a little bit, but mine would be a car that has been around, basically the shape of it and everything, since the late 40s. The engine is still in the back, and it's still real curvaceous, still has basically the same body style. I mean, if you see one sold brand new today and saw one that was built in Gmund, Austria, back in 1948, you would say, both of those are Porsches. And that would be correct, a Porsche 911. Now, you may be confused sometimes when I talk about certain Porsches, like I like a 993 or a 992 or a 997. Those are internal designations of the cars. They're all kind of referred to as Porsche 911. But like the car that I have right now is a 992. No, that's not right. It's a 997. My apologies. My favorite car would be a 993. That was built between 1993 and 1998 was the last model year of the 993. Still, it's a 911 too. Okay, but this was the last of the air-cooled Porsches. See, back then they were like Volkswagens except really fast, and they had air-cooled engines just like a Volkswagen. But then in 99, they decided to make them water-cooled. I think it was an emissions issue, and there were some other reasons, I'm sure. All the Porsches now are water-cooled, even though the engines are still behind. So what would be your favorite? I'd love to see your, just text it to me, 552-2020. Just send it to me right now. Just get your little cell phone out. If you don't have a cell phone, well, I'm sure if you don't have one, you're out of luck. But if you have a smart, like a flip phone, you still may be out of luck. But if you have a smartphone, send me your favorite car of all time. Now, it doesn't have to be a car. It could be a truck, if you insist, or an SUV or something. But what's your favorite? I mean, if you could just have it and keep it and put it in your garage and take care of it and drive it on weekends and just really enjoy it, what would it be? Well, I found it kind of interesting. I was looking online at some topics, these articles that I read on Flipboard. You know, most of them are car-related. My wife says, don't you ever get tired of, you know, reading stuff, cars, and watching these car shows? I said, do you ever get tired of watching HGTV and making quilts? She said, no. Okay, then. Anyway, I was just looking. I found this article about the most popular cars in each state. And, of course, I went straight to Tennessee. I want to see what the favorite vehicle was. And it's not a car. Favorite vehicle in Tennessee. And really, the number of people responded and said this vehicle, is it's really a small number. But I guess when you look at all the different vehicles that are out there, it's a pretty big number. 3.3% said, and that was the highest percentage of a particular vehicle, was the Ford F-150. That makes sense to me. I mean, I figured it would either be the F-150 or the Silverado, Chevrolet Silverado. What is it in Alabama? Wouldn't you think it was a truck? Nope. Toyota Camry. I can't figure that one out at all. Alaska is a Ram 1500, and that's also the most favorite truck or vehicle in Arizona. You go over to Arkansas, and it's a GMC Sierra, so we're still in trucks. What would you think California would be? You know, they're very, I guess, gas mileage conscious. I would be, too, if I lived in California, you know, with $6-7 a gallon gasoline, and I'd be afraid some environmentalist would attack me if I pulled into a gas station with a Hummer or an F-150. But their favorite car by far is the Honda Civic. Makes sense. Colorado's F-150. Connecticut, pretty small state, but they love their Honda CRVs. But, you know, not too far away in Delaware, it's a Chevy Silverado. Now, I would have thought Florida would have been something fun, you know, like a Jeep or, I don't know, maybe a convertible, Mustang or Camaro or something like that, Corvette. Nah, Toyota RAV4. How boring. I guess it's all the old people like me that live down there that want to drive something they can get in and out of without having to use a chairlift. Let's see, what a Georgia F-150, smart people. Hawaii, Nissan Frontier. Wonder how they got them there. I guess by boat. Idaho, F-150. Illinois, Hyundai Tucson. You got to be kidding me. What's wrong with those people in Illinois? Now, why would that be? Big city, maybe? Wanting SUVs? Hyundai? I don't know. Is there a Hyundai plant there? Indiana, Chevy Silverado. Iowa and Kansas are both F-150. Kentucky's a Ram 1500, traders. Louisiana, Maine, F-150, smart people. Maryland, here's another Honda CRV. I don't get that. Connecticut and Maryland. Massachusetts, Toyota RAV4, no surprise. Michigan, Ram 1500. Now, you know, Michigan should be Ford, I would think. But their favorite vehicle is a Ram 1500. Minnesota F-150, Mississippi F-150, Missouri, Chevy Silverado, Montana F-150, Nebraska F-150. I know, I'm getting through it. Then Ram 1500 in Nevada, New Hampshire. They've got to be different. Toyota Tacoma. You know, there's a lot of, it does get slick there. I bet most of them are four-wheel drive and rusted out. New Jersey CRV, New Mexico, I already told you F-150. New York. Honda CRV, that's kind of surprising to me. I figured it would be Toyota Camry, like North Carolina. What's wrong with those people? North Dakota F-150, Ohio Ram 1500. Oklahoma F-150, Oregon Toyota Tacoma. Boy, there's a lot of states. Pennsylvania Honda CRV, Rhode Island Toyota Highlander. South Carolina Toyota RAV4. Now, that's surprising as well. I thought that would be a pickup truck for sure. South Dakota F-150. Tennessee F-150. We already got Tennessee, Texas, and Utah F-150. Vermont, this is no surprise to me. What would you think would be the most popular car in Vermont? Well, it's not a, well, it's a SUV or kind of a crossover. Starts with an S and ends in a U. That's right. Subaru Crosstech. They sell a lot of Subarus in Vermont and New Hampshire, really. They are very popular up there. Virginia, Honda CRV, Washington, Toyota Tacoma. West Virginia, my old stomping grounds, Chevy Silverado 1500. Wisconsin and Wyoming finish out the list with F-150. So, to summarize, pickup trucks are the most popular new vehicle in 32 out of 50 states. The F-150 is the most popular new vehicle in 20 of those 50 states. That's why they sell about 900,000 of them. Excluding pickup trucks, the most popular new car is the Honda CRV, and it's number one in six states. Alabama, California, and North Carolina are the only states that have a passenger car as their most popular vehicle, which is the Toyota Camry. So there you go. All right, let's take our last break and give everybody a rest. Okay, I'm back. You know, when you look at new vehicles, obviously, we just went down through that exhaustive list. Now we're going to just talk real quickly about used vehicles. You know, if new vehicles are the most popular, you would certainly think that trucks would be the most popular new vehicles. You would certainly think that trucks would be the most popular used vehicles, wouldn't you? Well, you would be correct. Pickup trucks are the most popular used car in 39 out of 50 states, and the F-150 being the most popular used car in 38 of those 50 states. You know, I think Ford pretty much has a lock on it for a while. unless they mess up somehow. Excluding pickup trucks, the most popular used car in the nation is the Honda Civic. And basically, the states without pickup trucks as a preferred vehicle are mainly those crazy people on the coasts. I don't mean that. That was a joke. If you're from California or North Carolina, I apologize. But coastal states, pickup trucks are not the thing. So, you know, it's great to know what people like or don't like, use or don't use. But who knows why? Every family has their own reason. You know, I guess if I had to have three vehicles, I'd have a sports car, a pickup truck, and a big SUV, like a Suburban or a Expedition Navigator, something like that. I'd have to have something big. You know, I think there's never a substitution for room. For you folks who are thinking about trading cars in the next, you know, few months or so, my sympathies. But also, it's hard to go down in size. It really is. I don't recommend it. If you're getting up there in years, buy something that is roomy enough in the back to haul some things. You might need to haul some pretty heavy things. You might need a portable wheelchair. I mean, I hate to say it, or a walker or something like that, but you need some. You don't need something hanging off the back of your vehicle to tow it unless you just have to, like have some type of a cart or something like that. But if you have to have a cart, you better have a vehicle that's stout enough to handle it. And then make sure you can get in and out of it. You know, the threshold of a car, that's the, you know, when you open the door and you have that space between the edge of the rocker panel, which is at the bottom of the door when you open the door up, and the seat, if that's can be pretty wide. I mean, if it's like 6 to 8 inches, that's a stretch when you get older. I watched my mom try to get in and my dad for a number of years. And so I ended up, you know, having to compromise and find a vehicle that had a much narrower space there. But that's hard. And the reason is because of they have to meet the side impact crash standards. You know, that dictates the way cars are designed. And it may not be, you know, conducive to being comfortable on the interior or being able to get in and out of your car, but it sure does make a difference in survivability in the event of a side impact crash. So there's always going to be trade-offs, but just make sure that you're getting a car that you can get in and out of, that you can see, you know, that eliminates a lot of blind stops. And for goodness sake, get used to using the camera. The camera does not lie. It took me a while to figure that out. Okay, so I guess next time I'll be talking to you will be on Monday morning. I hope you tune into the next edition of My Car Guru, and have a safe weekend. Bye-bye.